Let's pray. God, we thank you that we're able to come and just be in your presence. And God, as we all continue to seek after you and pursue you, would you continue to meet us right where we're at, Lord? And like you did for Isaac, Lord, and some of those services, help to put the pieces together of who you really are, God. More clarity, more vision of you as our Father, as our God, as our King. And as we continue to discuss and look into these different names that people have used for you, Lord, that you would open up our hearts to understand you better. And God, I'm just going to keep praying that. I want to understand you better. I want to see you more clearly and be able to love you more fully, Lord. Yeah. Amen. All right. Okay, we are talking about the Lord is my shield. So I have a few verses. You can go to them if you want to, or I have them here. I'm just going to kind of read them. We're going to go through a few verses and connect it. But the word is magen, is how you say it. The Lord is my shield. Jehovah magen. So God being a shield, a protector, that word also, I was looking at somebody's commentary, also can mean the scaly hide of a crocodile that protects the crocodile. It's kind of interesting, all dealing with, you know, protection in that. So we're going to start in Psalm 3:3. David, this is when he fled Absalom, his son, who wanted to take over the kingdom. And in this psalm, David writes, "But you, O Lord, are the shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." In Psalm 18:2, this is when David had just been delivered from his enemies and also from the hands of Saul, so his best friend's father. "So the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And as I was reading those Psalms, and specifically these verses, and looking at the context of that, like thinking about David, like one of the times he's fleeing from his own son, right? Other times he's fleeing from Saul, who again, like I said, is his best friend's father. And like, so knowing firsthand betrayal, you know, so these aren't just like an enemy coming to take over his kingdom. These are from people that were really like close to him, right? People that he had relationship with, and God being his shield. And so, and yet, I mean, there are times that David had to, right, hide in caves or stay out in the wilderness for a certain amount of time, and not every battle was won. And so as we're going through this, like, what does it really mean to be protected? Is one of the questions I want us to think about as we discuss. In Psalm 91:4, I'm not sure who wrote the psalm, but it says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler." And so I was looking at pinions, because I don't know about you guys, but that's not a word that I use in my everyday language. So it's the outer part of the bird's wings, including the flight feathers. So the pinions of the bird. And so then it got me thinking about, I mean, there's other scriptures that say that I will hide in the shadow of your wings, right? And so that idea of God being this like mother hen that is protecting its chicks. So another image of protection. And then I was looking at somebody's commentary. And so in this verse, it talks about shield and it also talks about buckler. And the shields that they had back in this time were like full body shields, right? And they could have several of them together that could then surround all of them front and back if they had several people, you know, with them. A buckler was a smaller shield that was one that you could hold in your fist. It wasn't like your whole arm going in to like hold that shield. It was with your hand and your fist. It was used for protection in close battle, but it was also used as an offensive measure as well. So you could hit your opponent with it as well. It also had on it a thing, and I don't, where did I write it? Called the umbo, And it's used, it's like in the middle of the shield, and it's used for deflecting stones and arrows. So I don't know exactly what that would have looked like. So back in the ancient of days. And so that idea of like this shield being able to deflect arrows from your enemy, it's able to protect, but also be used as a defense, not just defense, but an offensive weapon too. It was easy to maneuver with, and so there were two different kinds. So it's interesting that the person would say that God is both of those, you know, a shield that protects your whole self, but also a smaller shield that deflects arrows and stones, but it can also be used to attack. So then it leads me to Ephesians 6:16. And this is where you know, Paul is speaking about like the breastplate of righteousness and all the different the parts of the armor. It says, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So I was thinking about like, okay, so Paul's relating our faith to the shield, and there's many times throughout Psalms, which Paul would have been very familiar with, of shields being used as protection, right? And God being that shield. And so these arrows here are from the evil one. And we know like in the other scripture when it talks about that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? Against the enemy, against Satan. And so before, David's writing about God being a shield and a protector, and he's in the midst of physical battle, right? Physical battle because of his son, physical battle because of his best friend's father, people want to take his kingdom, people that are angry with him. So it's like physical battle and physical protection. Then Paul takes that concept and then relates it to what is the battle that we are actually in. Because yes, are there still physical battles out there? Yeah, but we're not in the same situation as David was, right? And so we're not in need of that same type of protection. And even in that, David was delivered over and over again, for sure. But he also did end up dying, right? And that idea of like God being a protector for sure, but what is he really wanting to protect us from? And I think that's what Paul, using all of that, then relates it to like for us today, it's really to be protected from the enemy wanting to take us to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy what we've built with God, who we are in him. So it says, take up your shield of faith. So I was looking into that. And faith, which we've talked about before, is a gift from God. It's God's divine persuasion, the persuasion of his will. Faith is God's warranty, certifying that the revelation he unbirthed will come to pass. So what he's placed inside of us, who he's called us to be, what he said is going to happen is going to happen. And so relating that back to the one in Psalms that says he will cover you with his pinions and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So God's faithfulness being something that protects us, and it's our faith that's also a shield to protect us. And that faith comes from God. So I wrote down faith, which really is trust. Like we're putting our trust in him. So we trust in his faithfulness. That's what our faith is. That's the protection. So we're trusting in him being faithful no matter what's happening, no matter what the enemy's throwing our way, no matter what people are throwing our way, no matter what's happening in the world. He is faithful, right? I was listening to, so my son Wilbur, I told somebody, I don't know who all this heard, but back in September, he got in a serious motorcycle accident. I don't know if all you guys were here and heard about that. Okay. So he almost died. The guy who was riding the motorcycle died, and he miraculously survived. And he just did a talk on a station in Uganda, as they were talking about his experience, and he's writing a song about the dangers of riding on these motorcycles and wanting to like help people and kind of, you know, get people thinking about being more safe on those. But in that, he's talking, and I was just listening to it this morning, and he's discussing with this woman, and he's saying like, he's like, I don't know how I was saved. Like, I mean, I Like, I have no idea if I jumped off, I pushed myself off. I don't know how I survived. And then this guy, you know, died. But he said, what is God's ultimate desire for protection? It's protecting our souls. He's like, there will come a day that I will physically die. You know, he's like, my life will end. All of us will come to an end sometime. And it could be something that's tragic, and it could be something because of old age, but we will die. So yes, is there protection in this physical life? Yes. But ultimately, we will die, that first death. But our souls don't need to die because of the protection that God actually provides. And I love that God is present in this world, but I think a lot of people's disappointment is, why weren't you here? Why weren't you in this situation? Why didn't you save that person's life? Why did that person die of cancer? Why did this person die in a motorcycle accident? Or this plane go down, but then this person got saved? Like, all those other things and all these different questions that people have, right? And so that can get us into this, like, I don't know, this loop of just feeling this disappointment, which is human. Absolutely. I'm not saying, like, I've not felt that before, like this feeling of disappointment. And when I have loss in my life, I know that I will feel disappointment. But the reality is, that isn't promised. And so though he is our protection, that is not a promise that we will never die, right? Because that's how this world is. But the promise is, he will be faithful, that he will continue to protect us from the evil one, that he has given us ways to be protected from the arrows of the enemy. That's a promise. And that's something that being faithful. And so that faith and putting our trust in him, keeping our eyes fixed on him, understanding who we are, giving him, you know, he has these plans that he wants to bring to fruition, right? The verse that says that he will bring to completion the good works that he begun, right? And that's true. But we also have to bring ourselves into submission to that will, because we can decide not to follow, right? We can decide not to have faith in that. We can decide not to trust him, right? And so I think for me in this, starting to weed out more, like, what really are his promises? Because I don't want to hold on to a promise that isn't actually given. And the promise that I will not see death is not given. A promise that there will not be heartache and pain and loss is not given. A promise that he will be faithful to the end, that he will give us ways of combating the enemy, that he will protect our hearts and our minds, that he will keep us close to him, that he will pursue our hearts. Those things are promised. But physical protection isn't. And so it's interesting because David, that's really what he was talking about over and over again, because he was in the midst of that. David, I don't know. I don't think David knew much more than that. Though he was connected with God, it wasn't about the soul so much. It wasn't about, We can discuss that more. I'd love to see what people think with that. But most of what David talks about seems to relate to the physical, right? You're my fortress, you're my refuge. And he is in the middle, in that situation, in battle, and his life is at risk. So it's like real for him. Like, he's right there living it. And yet, ultimately, that at the end, he did lose his life, right? So I don't know. I know that, you know, David was the apple of God's eye, you know, and yet did horrible things in his life as well. And he had a connection, but he didn't have the same connection that we have. Jesus hadn't come. He didn't have the Holy Spirit with him, right? Mm-hmm. He had this God and this King who he revered. And I know that God communicated to him. I don't know exactly what that looked like back then, but God definitely communicated, and he had a sweet relationship with God. I mean, with the Psalms and things that he wrote, but it's not what we have access to because of what Jesus provided. And so we have access to something different. We have more of an understanding too of what God's heart for us really is, and what we're really called to. I mean, David was still part of those old covenants, you know, that, and the, wrath of God was still very much a part of that because of the covenants that were there, and just a very difficult time to live in. So I think going back to, we are told that our faith is a shield, and our faith being able to deflect the arrows of the enemy. And what are those arrows for? It's to destroy us internally. It's to take us away from him. It's to bring in doubts, fear, keeping us small, not having us live in the full capacity of who he created us to be. And so realizing for myself, like, as I was looking through the list of things to teach on, I just kind of felt drawn to this, and I wasn't sure why, but I think for me personally, this is where I need to grow in again, is trusting in his faithfulness and understanding that he is present, and what is his heart really? What does it look like for me? What's his desire for me as his? So, and I love that, like, with David, that it is wrapped into that idea of resting in the shadow of his wings, that we're protected by him. So there's a comfort that comes with that as well. But then there's also the place of, like, to be faithful, we have to be, which talked about when you were talking about the shepherd, you know, a few weeks ago, we've got to be willing to be corrected and not harshly like we had imagined before, you know, the stick being like to club them on the head, but to align ourselves with where he's taking us and to allow a steering to happen so that we stay on the path that he's designed for us to have. And that's critical in living out, you know, our faith. And it's easy to get detracted from that, but being able to, like, so there's a protection, there's a mother hen, mother henning, if you will, right? That can be a verb, a mother henning that's happening, you know, in that. But also there's a correction, and there's an action on our part. It's not just like, okay, you do everything for me. Faith requires action. Faith requires stepping out. Faith requires aligning ourselves with his plan. Faith requires a yes, you know, and without that yes, we haven't given him power and authority in our lives to help us to walk into the fullness of what he's called us into. So that idea, going back to faith, is God's warranty certifying that the revelation he in birthed will come to pass, right? That who he is, that what he has called us to, that what we get after this will actually take place, that we have that inheritance, which I think is really quite incredible. So I want to go back to, I don't know if it's go back. I was talking to another one of my sons today, Moses, and he made a comment. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling more like myself again. I want to get back to that. And I said, yeah, but was that always like the best for you? You know, like your past self, like, was that really freedom? Like there was joy there, but was that really like what you think it was? Maybe it's time to step into something new, like who you really are. Maybe it's time to step into what God has for you now instead of trying to go back to a time that you thought was the golden age, you know? And so I think for me, that's why I want to be careful with that language. I don't want to go back to something that I've had with God. I want to discover something new. You know, you were saying, Isaac, just that idea of puzzle pieces coming together. Am I creating space for him to be faithful? Am I creating space to recognize his faithfulness? Am I creating space to allow him to teach me and put those puzzle pieces together? Or am I being distracted by everything that's happening in the world? Or am I thinking just about myself? Or am I living in fear? And so I think it goes back to like the shield of faith being able to say, okay, I trust you. And to trust you, I want to choose to listen to you and hear what you actually have to tell me, what you have to say, mm-hmm. you know, what you desire, you know, for me, for us. And so I'd like to, I don't know, pursue him afresh for myself. I think I've gone through, if I'm being honest, like a season of like, I know he's there and I see his hand at work and I marvel at that, but actually having that close connection of communication and carved out time and space and allowing him to communicate and me to listen and just be with him isn't something that I've created a lot of space for. And yet I do, I mean, it's not that I have doubts that he's real. I just haven't created a lot of space for him and I maybe to be close and for me to rely more on his faithfulness and not on my own strength to accomplish what's needed. So anyway, that is where I'm going to pause and then we'll discuss. So you on the interwebs, have a great rest of your day, weekend, week. We love you.